You are listening to The Beckett Cook Show with your host, Beckett Cook. For more information about Beckett and his ministry, visit his website at beckettcook.com. To help support the podcast, visit patreon.com/The Beckett Cook Show. Please consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving a 5-star rating.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. Today I want to talk about the Texas ban on abortion after 6 weeks that went into effect recently. And specifically, I want to get into an article, an opinion piece I read in the New York Times today by Linda Greenhouse. And it says, the title of the article is God Has No Place in Supreme Court Opinions. And she opens this article, the opinion piece, with this kind of really emotional paragraph that tries to tug at our emotional heartstrings. But I'll just read this paragraph and you can see what she's doing. But she starts off by saying, 150 years ago, a woman named Myra Bradwell brought a Supreme Court case claiming a constitutional right to be admitted to the Illinois bar. She had passed the state's bar exam with high honors, but the Illinois Supreme Court refused her application, saying that when the state legislature gave the court the power to grant law licenses, quote, it was with not the slightest expectation that this privilege would be extended to women, end quote. Now, remember, this is 150 years ago. And then she goes on, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the state court with Justice Joseph Bradley writing in a concurring opinion that, quote, the paramount destiny and mission of women are to fulfill the noble and benign offices of wife and mother. And then it goes on, she says, this, quote, this, Justice Bradley explained, is the law of the Creator. And so, of course, she opens this opinion piece with something that happened 150 years ago. And and it's supposed to kind of like completely, you know, immediately, it's very persuasive in the beginning. It's supposed to persuade us. And she says in the next paragraph, she says, but it turns out that God has a role in the country's civic life after all, that of supreme legislator. And she basically goes on in the article to attack the abortion law in Texas. She says, in May, when Governor Greg Abbott of Texas signed the SB 8 bill, she calls it the vigilante bill. Of course, she uses the word vigilante as if, you know, it's some wild bill. Vigilante bill that bans abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Governor Abbott claimed that, quote, our Creator endowed us with the right to life, and yet millions of children lose their right to life every year because of abortion. In Texas, we work to save those lives. And she goes on to talk about other abortion bans in Alabama and in Arkansas. She goes into detail about that. And she says, I could go on with this list, but these examples are sufficient to raise the question for those of us not on board with the theocratizing of America. Like we're becoming a theocracy, you know, like just because we don't want to murder children. She says, this is her kind of thesis statement. Who let God into the legislative chamber? And it's like, well, maybe the founding fathers did. The founding fathers built the Constitution and built all the founding principles on biblical principles. They were the founding fathers, whatever their faults were, there were a lot of faults, but they were at least nominally Christian. Some of them were actually Christian. Some were just nominal Christians, but so they built the Constitution around, the fundamental biblical principle of the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which isn't biblical. But she goes on to say, so who let God into this legislative chamber? And she says, the answer is we did. Our silence has turned us into enablers of those who are now foisting their religious beliefs on a country founded on opposition to an established church. Now, of course, she twists that because, yes, when our founders didn't want a state church, that like in Germany and France and England, they did not want an established state church. They wanted human beings to be free to worship whoever, you know, they wanted us, because obviously you can't mandate the gospel on someone. You can't mandate someone be a Christian. That has to be from God. And so, it has to be a supernatural act from God and the Holy Spirit. So the founders didn't want to establish a church, but they did found the country on biblical principles. And that's why we hold these truths to be self-evident, and that all men are endowed with rights. And if there is no God, then we're not endowed with rights. Like, we have no rights. They're human beings. If there is no God, it doesn't make sense. There's no morality. There's no basis. I've talked about this before on the show. There's no basis for morality if there is no God. If we're here just because of random mutation and natural selection, and then there is no basis for morality. There's no basis for it. It's just because the strong eats the weak. And so it's the survival of the fittest. So there is no basis for morality. And so she then goes on, of course, to attack Amy Coney Barrett, the Supreme Court justice. And she says, Justice Barrett's personal religious views are, of course, her personal business. Now, this is like insanity to me, because we all have a worldview. If even this woman who wrote the article, Linda Greenhouse, has a worldview, she has a secular humanist worldview. That is her religion. It informs everything she does and how she does things and how she thinks about things. And it informs who she votes for and her policy choices and all kinds of things, what policies she wants to have in place. So it's semi-psychotic. It's like a dissociative disorder to think that you can separate, like, Justice Barrett's her religious views, her worldview. It's her worldview. You can't separate that from the way she sees the world and the way she decides cases. Like, you can't separate those things. Of course, everyone on the Supreme Court has a specific worldview, and I mean, it's obvious. Like, it's so clear, you know, with some exceptions there are many, but it's clear when there's the conservative justices that were appointed by conservative Republicans, or whatever, typically vote conservative. And those who were appointed by liberal presidents typically vote, in a liberal way. So obviously your personal worldview is going to affect your decision making. There's no way around that. And I talked about this many times before. I used to be pro-choice. I used to be, reluctantly pro-abortion. I thought it was kind of, before I was a Christian, I thought abortion was kind of scary. Cause I think deep down I knew that it was a human life. I did actually. I knew that it was a human life. Because of the culture I was in Los Angeles, because of all my friends, all my friends were rabidly pro-choice, especially my best friend. She was hyper pro-choice, hyper pro-abortion. And so, of course, I just went along with it. And it wasn't until, again, that when I became a Christian and I understood the image of God, the Imago Dei, that I became very much pro-life, because I understood that we are all human beings are created in the image of God, and life begins at conception. It doesn't take a scientist to understand that life begins at conception. It's just obvious. And I've talked about this before. a fetus or an embryo is a potential. It's not a fetus is or an embryo is not a potential person. It's a person with potential. It's so patently obvious. And this is in Romans 1, this is suppressing the truth. This is when Paul talks about suppressing the truth, he uses the illustration of homosexual behavior. But in this case, you can use the same behavior, the same pro-abortion argument to illustrate this is suppressing the truth. It's an obvious suppressing of the truth. And I want to clarify what the Imago Dei is, because I think before I talked about how it was different attributes, but once again, Dr. Michael Heiser helped me understand really what the image of God is, what it means to be created in the image of God. And so what he says is, being created in the image of God is not these following attributes. It's not consciousness. It's not sentience. It's not intelligence or rationality. It's not emotions. It's not soul, spirit. It's not conscience, sense of morality. It's not the ability to communicate, because other primates and other animals can do a lot of these things. And the problem with this is an embryo or a fetus in the womb, a child in the womb, can't do these things. A child in the womb doesn't have sentience, depending on the trimester or whatever. A child in the womb doesn't have these characteristics or these attributes or a lot of them. A child in the womb can't communicate. A child in the womb doesn't have emotions doesn't have a sense of morality. Doesn't have the ability to worship, someone in a coma is in the same situation, or someone who has cerebral palsy, like they may not be able to communicate. So does that mean that they don't have the image of God stamped on them? So the point is, which is a brilliant point that Michael Heiser makes, is this: the image of God is a status given to human beings. It's a status. It is not this list of attributes. And once you understand that, then an embryo at conception, a zygote at conception, has the status of an image bearer of God. That's the key. So if you don't have that understanding, as Mike Heiser would say, if you don't have that understanding that it's a status, then you have no argument to be pro-life. There's no pro-life argument, because an embryo in the womb doesn't have the ability to do all these things that we normally attribute to image bearers of God. So I think that's a really important thing to understand about being image bearers of God. It's God gave Homo sapiens, God gave human beings the status of being his image bearer, and which makes perfect sense. And then, so she talks about, back to Amy Coney Barrett, she says, Justice Barrett's personal religious views are, of course, her personal business, but her support of this aggressive public intervention into a matter of public concern was fair game for questions, or should have been. It remained, however, far under the radar during the unseemly sprint to her Supreme Court confirmation. So it's like, we're not allowed to have Supreme Court justices who believe abortion is wrong. Is that what Linda Greenhouse is saying? I don't get it. Because obviously people have different, again, worldviews and different opinions and different views. And then she goes on in the article to say, what reason other than religious doctrine is there really for turning back the clock on a decision that nearly a half a century ago freed women from the choice between the terror of the back alley and the tyranny of enforced motherhood? So again, the back alley argument, is always the red herring. Like there's going to be, there's these massive back alley abortions and then she says the tyranny of enforced motherhood. So apparently she believes being a mother is tyrannical, or she thinks that the enforced motherhood is tyrannical. Just to have that view of having a child and having is it some sort of tyrannical enforcement from the government is so upside down and insane. And then she says it is incumbent on the rest of us to call out those who invoke God as their legislative drafting partner. And it's like, yeah, but again, she's imposing her religious view, secular humanism, on us as well. It's like she's imposing that view on us. And it's like, you can't have it both ways. You don't want us to impose our views on you, but you want to impose abortion, late term abortion on Christians or on people who believe that, yeah, you know, we actually believe that that is a life. That's a human life in the womb. And that life is an image bearer of God. We actually believe that to the core. I mean, I believe that to the core. And by the way, I mean, I talked about this before, but and J.P. Moreland, I was in his class for apologetics in seminary. And he says this, he said, if you are a Christian and you're pro-abortion, you know, at some point you gotta figure that out. Like you gotta figure this out because, and I feel the same way. It's like, if you're a Christian and you're pro-choice, pro-abortion, there is a major disconnect going on, and it's very dangerous and very scary to be in that situation because you're aiding and abetting, you're affirming and aiding and abetting murder is what you're doing. And so it's a very dangerous place to be. And we know that, you know, there are many politicians who claim to be religious, obviously, and are pro-choice, which to me, I don't understand. I understand because I don't think that they fully understand the gospel, obviously. And they don't understand the word of God. And at the end of the article, the op-ed piece, she says, as the country lurches towards theocracy, we need voices like those more than ever. And she's talking about voices like Governor Cuomo, who is pro-choice but Catholic, which again makes no sense. And so once again, at the last line of the article is this kind of scare tactic, like our country is lurching towards theocracy. Do you think we're lurching towards a theocracy? It doesn't seem that way. If you look around the country, if you look around the world, this country, it's the last thing it's doing is lurching towards theocracy. We're lurching toward more and more decadence, more and more decay. As you can see, everything is decaying in more and more social structures, and obviously the LGBTQ movement, and just families are being destroyed by all kinds of things, which I want to get into next week or next time. I want to get into a really interesting point about the destruction of the family. But so I read this just now, and I just had to turn on the camera and talk about this because, again, we as believers, we have a certain worldview, just as anyone else has a certain worldview. And obviously we're going to base our decisions and our choices on that worldview. We're not going to go against our worldview. It doesn't make any sense. And Linda Greenhouse is not going to go against her worldview, but I'm very happy what happened in Texas. I'm glad that Governor Abbott had the boldness to pass that bill. And I think, yeah, that made me extremely happy because again, I was never concerned about abortion before I was a Christian. I never cared about it. And now I care deeply about it. I care deeply about innocent victims of genocide, of slaughter. I mean, it really is a barbaric. That's the thing. This is not a civilization. If we're willing to murder our unborn children, we're barbarians. That's all we are. We're just barbarians. There's no civilized society because no civilized, and I've talked about this before. It's like we, you know, civilizations and cultures before us in antiquity would sacrifice babies on the altar of their gods or whatever they would worship their Elohim, and we do the same thing today. We're no different than those ancient cultures that we thought were so barbaric. We sacrifice innocent children, unborn babies, on the altar of convenience, on the altar of sexual liberation, and we just as Christians we need to be aware of the barbarity of it and how savage it's so savage, and it disturbs me to the core. And I know that passing laws about, you know, banning abortion at a you know, certain number of weeks is not going to necessarily bring non-believers to Christ, but even when I wasn't a Christian, my family members were pro-life. They were ardently pro-life. And that did not, their pro-life position did not inhibit me from coming to Christ. So does that make sense? Because I think the argument is if we legislate morality, we're going to somehow offend people and they're not going to come to Christ, but that's not the case. I came to Christ regardless of what my, you know, family members and I knew obviously Christians in the culture were anti-abortion. So it didn't stop me from coming to Christ. That's all I want to say about that. Let's pray for more of this, she does say in this article that it seems like, you know, the wind is behind this pro-life movement. And let's just pray that it keeps moving and that more and more children will be saved because of this, because of new legislation that will curtail abortion at the very least. So thank you for watching, and I will see you next time on the show.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Beckett Cook Show. Your support makes this content possible. All episodes of The Beckett Cook Show are also available on YouTube. For more information about Beckett and his ministry, visit his website at beckettcook.com.
Is life feeling chaotic? I get it. I'm Rachel Wojo, host of the Untangling Life podcast. Don't miss the passionate encouragement and faith-based resources you need to help you clear your head and calm your heart. As Shell says, it feels like Rachel always knows what I need to hear. She keeps it real and is so humble. Her podcast is just the cherry on top. Enjoy Untangling Life with Rachel Wojo on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast app now.